gorgeous listeners. This is Miriam and Alan from Throwing Shade. We are super excited to be here. It is the 4th of July and there are fireworks going off outside our house and I have a cold, so we are in the perfect recording environment. Wouldn't you agree, Alan?
Sure.
We're going to roll with it and it's going to be great. So welcome everybody. We're super excited to be diving into this next episode. In a previous conversation, we talked about two big things, and we've been revisiting those things before we dive into brand new topics. And so last time, we talked about whether Shadim observe mitzvot, the commandments.
Demons,
that's right.
That's what you say.
Booyah.
I say Shadim.
Are we doing a little role reversal here?
Well, I just want to keep you on your toes. I want to make sure you're... You're doing your job.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. So we talked about whether demons actually keep the mitzvot, the commandments. And we also offered up the question whether demons are actually Jewish. So that's the one that we're going to come back to today to dive in a little deeper. So, Alan, what do you say? Are demons Jewish?
It doesn't really matter what I say. but I will be happy to bring the sources.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So, I think, I don't remember what I said, what was it, two episodes ago, whether demons are Shadim or Jewish or not, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, the Zohar, which is, a pretty conclusive source, if you ask me, says that there are in
mystical
fact...
Mystical text, yeah.
Yeah, there are in fact both Jewish and non-Jewish Shadim.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go into how to... figure out which ones are which, but I also just would point out that there are Shadim that are Talmidei Chachamim. They sit and study Torah all day. They are experts in both the oral and written versions of the Torah,
mm-hmm.
and they, versus other kinds of Shadim that are more animal-like in their daily activities, and they go they only care about food and sex and fighting and things like that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We should talk.
I don't
more
think
about
that's
them.
The reaction you're supposed to have for the animal ones. That's the reaction you're supposed to have for the Talmidei Chachamim.
I want to hear more about both, Alan. I really do. But we definitely need to do an episode about demons and sex.
Yes. Yes. There's a lot about it because you may be surprised to learn that there are. Shadim who have sex with humans of all stripes.
Uh-huh.
So, well, again, another episode.
Okay, cool. So,
but I will say one more thing. There's a Sefer Chesed LaAvraham that doesn't differentiate between ethnicities or religions, but it except for Judaism, it says there are Jewish demons and then there are demons of all faiths of all of the world.
It's beautiful. All coming together to be little troublemakers and. Just like generally make things difficult for us.
Right. I do want to share one story. Can I share this one story that I think is pretty awesome?
I love when you tell stories. Go ahead.
It comes from a sefer called Kav HaYashar.
Uh-huh.
And it has to do with, so back to the sex thing, which again, we'll revisit, I'm sure, I hope, Lena there. But that there's a town once where it was known that Shadim frequented or lived or whatever.
Yeah.
There was a moyel who was called to this town because a child was born to a woman who the child was a half demon child, half shade.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a male child, so they needed a bris. The moyel went to the town and performed the bris.
Mm-hmm.
And from there we know that it is okay to perform a bris on a half demon male child.
See, and I love that this was like an important halachic decision to come to, that like, can you perform a circumcision on a boy child who is born to a presumably Jewish mother and a demon father?
And well, well, then you'll love the fact that it continues in the halacha because
does it now?
Yes, because a moyel is allowed to perform a circumcision on a half demon male child, there is a suffix. It means it's a doubt whether or not it's unsure whether or not this bris could be performed on Shabbos.
Uh huh.
Yeah, because you might be violating Shabbos, and that's not we're not sure for that child and the shade half shade child. But
wow.
Right. So there's other things. There's other cool stories about three people who are zimun for benching for after for Birkat HaMazon there's if there's at least three.
Right. So for the blessing after the meals, there's a required, you know, like quorum. Mini quorum of people right. that you need in order to be able to say these like little extra blessings at the beginning.
Right. So right. So in that case, if there's three people and they're doing the Zimun for the benching, and then after benching, one of them magically turns into a horse. So.
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't been at that Shabbat table?
This, by the way, this comes from a Sefer Ezra's Mietzer, which Mietzer, I mean, I don't know, whatever. I want to give my sources. I missed that the first time. I felt bad about it, so I want to make sure I'm on top of that. But anyway,
thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. There's a question, right? You have to know if maybe the person who turned into a horse was a shade to begin with and only taking human form in order to be part of this Zimun. In that case,
right.
then, or for whatever reason, and then became part of the Zimun. In that case, there's a doubt whether you've fulfilled the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon.
Right, which is really the most pressing question but in that situation.
But there's another possibility, which is that the person was in fact human to begin with, and through ksufim, through
magic, like
incantations and spells and whatever from some other source,
yeah.
the human turned into a horse, in which case there's less doubt. But you have to know whether it was a human to begin with or a shade to begin with.
I mean, does anybody think that it was just a horse?
Taking human form, not a shade?
You know, masquerading in human form and was now revealing, this is their coming out moment as
like,
a horse?
Like a horse walking around with a Ronald Reagan mask over his face or something.
right. Nobody comes up with that?
Nope.
See, this is why these texts can't be closed and why we need to keep writing commentary.
Okay.
Okay, and with that, we're going to go to a break.
You're ridiculous.
And we're back. And so we're going to talk a little bit about why this matters. Why does it matter that there are some demons that are Jewish and some that are not? And I mean, I have to tell you that I'm particularly struck by this idea that there are demons of all different religions. You know, going about their daily demon business, and in this kind of like bizarrely unified way, like something about that. There's something about, first of all, the rabbinic imagination that is very rooted in just reality. Like there's a lot of rabbinic imaginings of what heaven or what the afterlife looks like that are very much, you know, very, very sort of physically oriented. Like things will it'll be kind of like how things are now, but better. Like we'll have enough food and everybody will be able to study Torah all the time and all of these kinds of things. And so it just sort of strikes me that there's something about kind of taking the world as it is and reimagining it a little bit better and a little bit differently in these other spaces.
Are you implying that the realm of the Shadim is a little bit better?
No, no, but it's an opportunity to, I mean, you could imagine anything, right? Like if you're thinking about what the world of demons and what the world of Shadim looks like, you could imagine literally anything. But one of the things that the rabbis, that the commentators take is a lot of the realities of the actual world that they're dealing with. And they sort of layer it over this other dimension, this other sphere where there's these crazy creatures walking around and doing all kinds of different things. Like I think there's something just really intriguing about that to me.
I hear what you're saying. I think if I were to guess, it probably comes from, you know, one of the things I hope we can convey with this podcast is that Shadim, because of their job, which is again maybe a topic for another episode, but because of their tasks in creation, they spend a significant portion of their time among humans.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I hope to convey, as I said, is there's some rubbing off that happens in both directions.
Right, including clothing.
Yes.
hat tip to folks who've listened to multiple episodes. But
thank you.
Yeah.
So it's it doesn't surprise me that the rabbis would think that there would be shadim of different religions in the same way that humans sort of just go about our day in mm-hmm. this realm with where different religions exist.
Right.
You know, one of the things we didn't discuss just a moment ago was about which shadim are the Jewish ones and how that comes to be. There's other ways I didn't go into because for time reasons, but other ways shadim become Jewish and other ways shadim, like I said, to tell based on what kind of shade it is, whether it's Jewish or not.
Yeah.
And and I think that's significant because that's a mirror of our world.
Right.
In a lot of ways.
Well, and maybe it says something about just the way that the sages understand how God created the world, that there are these sort of layers, you know, these different kind of permutations of reality, and they all kind of echo and bleed into one another and have effects on one another. So part of me sort of thinks like it makes a lot of sense that the world that the shadim exists in isn't actually all that different from the one that we're in.
Like right.
there have to be commonalities in order for us to be all part of the same system that God created.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just saying yes, just unequivocal, yeah. So which
if I was going to nitpick though, I mean I would just say like I'm guilty of saying things like this and thinking this way too. Just I want to come back to this idea that you know, the shadim inhabit our world in addition to other worlds. I like to think of it as dimensions, you know, different, dimensions, right? So we have in our physical reality four dimensions that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, according to quantum science, quantum physics and things like that, there are four dimensions. And then if somebody were to inhabit a fifth dimension, or to try to imagine physicality in the fourth dimension, there's all kinds of stuff. I won't go too crazy and nerdy about this, but basically,
I'm already lost, but continue.
Basically what I'm trying to say is that imagine somebody who can exist in planes higher than ours, moving back and forth between those planes, or among those planes, because there's probably more than two.
Mm-hmm.
And that person, if it's a person, or in this case a shade or malachim or other higher dimensional beings.
Or like
beings,
Wesley at the end of Star Trek.
Right. He just sort of traveler disappears.
And just kind of like,
yeah.
We finally get rid of Wesley.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Wow. We are so nerdy.
Sorry. So much love to Will Wheaton. But.
Oh, he knows.
Yeah, he knows.
He's the king of the nerds.
It's true.
King of the Shadim, by the way, another cool podcast episode. There is a king and a queen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Damn straight.
What was I even saying? I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
So there's beings that bounce among all the different dimensions and the different worlds. They would pick up different things, right? They would, and they would adapt to different things. Now imagine that one of those realms, ours, is the crown of God's creation. And it is the lowest in terms of dimensional planes.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason for God's entire creation is our realm.
Yeah. And everybody want to be like us.
Right. So the shadim are going to spend.
The angels want to be like us. So, of course, the demons want to be like us, too.
All right. We'll see where that takes us.
All right. It'll take us to a break.
All right.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
And we're back, and we actually have a listener question, so we'll get back to Does It Demon in a subsequent episode, which I have a really good one for you, but we are going to answer a question from Jack, who says, the Talmud talks of a myriad demons, but also gives some demons specific names and roles. What's up with that? Do all demons have names and just most aren't listed? Or are there special demons that are different from the myriad? Take it, Alan.
That is an excellent question, Jack. Thank you for asking.
Jack only asks excellent questions.
Okay. So, the answer is, you, Jack, get a gold star because you have stumped me. Mm. Here's what I will tell you. I will give you my guess. Mm-hmm. First of all, you're 100% right that, you know, I think we mentioned this Gemara and Brachas in an earlier episode, but there's this idea that every person's right, I can't remember which is right or left.
Stage right.
I think
stage
it's
left.
Right.
It depends on whether you're on the stage or in the audience.
To every person's right is 1,000 shadim. To every person's left is 10,000 shadim. I could be getting those right and left mixed up. I'm offhand
that
right now.
That sounds like quantum math.
and this, the whole Gemara is about how, you know, that's, you know, if we actually could see them, if we knew that, we would be paralyzed from fear all the time.
Right.
We wouldn't be able to accomplish anything.
Right.
So that's one example of the ways in which the Rabbanim give us the picture of how many Shadim there are. Just try and fathom that. And, you know, 7 billion odd people in the world and whatever. Mm. So it is absolutely a lot. If they all have names, you are right also on the point that we do not know all of their names by sheer number.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my guess. My guess is that the ones whose names we know, those are the ones who you got to really look out for. They're the really important ones to keep your fingers on, so
right.
to speak.
Okay, give an example.
Okay.
Pick a really fun one.
Well, I'll give you a few. So there's a shade that hovers over unattended, stale, standing water.
Mm-hmm.
And not just water, sorry, liquid. Yeah, including wine and whatever.
Red Bull.
And there's also lots of reasons for that, maybe to cover in a different episode.
Mm-hmm.
But that shade's name is Shabriri. And mm-hmm. that shade, if someone were to consume said liquid with the shade Shabriri hovering over it, that person would be afflicted with blindness.
Hmm.
There's another shade. My favorite shade name, probably my favorite name, I don't know, is if somebody were to leave a book out open on a table, pages spread,
mm-hmm.
Also unattended, there is a shade that hovers over those pages that is called shade. And that stands for...
Why?
It stands for Shomer Dapim. It's the Hebrew for the shin for Shomer, Dalet for Dapim, shade. Not like, yeah, so...
That's so cute.
Yeah, I like
it. Wait, in any book or like a sefer? Like
I'm pretty sure it applies to any book, but I think it
really?
Is especially... but if I'm remembering correctly, it's especially true of Sfarim, uh-huh. holy books.
So this is the patron demon of librarians. Who are
the patron demon of librarians?
I mean, come on, why not?
All right.
Thank you for your question, Jack. It was great. We're going to actually get into more specific demons and what they do and all that kind of good stuff in subsequent episodes. All right, folks. And with that, we are up to our action item, our thing that we can take into our week and just have the joys of Jewish demonology with us. Wherever we go. So, Alan,
oh, the
you got...
Joys.
Oh, the joys. So many. What's our action item this time?
Well, because I don't know if we're going to ever have another chance to talk about the shade of Shomer Dapim, of leaving books open.
Yeah.
I think our action item should be that when one is... reading a book.
Mm-hmm. And so first, read a book.
Oh, yeah. Read a book. Learn Tyra from a book.
Uh-huh.
100%. I think that one should have in mind that if they leave that book unattended, they are going to possibly run the risk of having a shade hover over those pages.
Yeah. Yeah.
So close there your book. The action item is close your book.
Close
Sorry.
Your book. Sorry. So first read a book, like read a freaking book. open it. Be with it while you're with it, and then close it when you're done. Otherwise, we're going to use Shade the Shade as like yet another example of Jewish guilt of something.
And you know what I think would be an amazing action item maybe for us? And we'll see. I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah. I want to put this out there to our listeners. We got to have bookmarks, right? That's what the whole idea of a bookmark is.
Oh.
Right? You put a bookmark in, you can close the book, and there's really no shade
just,
problem.
It's really just demon prevention.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
So if there is interest from our listeners, if you want bookmarks, let us know. We can figure something out.
All right. All right, listeners, it's been an honor and a pleasure.
Did I ever promise?
We will see you next time on Throwing Shade, Better Living Through Jewish Demonology. See y'all later.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.